said, you know, unless you send a preacher, it won't be preached. And sometimes I don't think most people quite understand what it takes to do a campaign and crusade in a country like that. But we know firsthand, and concerning Peru, it takes a lot of money. The reason it's taking more money all the time, and the reason is, not is it just because expenses are going up, but we're tackling cities that are difficult to get campaigns organized in. Now, if I said we were going to do an open-air campaign here, in this area anywhere, and somebody said, well, I'll let you have this 5 acres over here to set up the campaign in, we would go and set up a campaign on that 5 acres. We would hold a crusade. We would go and we would get sound equipment. Now that sound equipment would have to reach 5 acres. But when you're in Peru and you go and you set up a campaign there, you can't just take a piece of land or a soccer stadium and automatically set it up. You're not free to do that. There's politicians involved. There's permits. There's permissions from this department, that department. And then you've got to depend on God that they will stick to their word and let you go ahead and do what they said you could do. And then you have to come up from somewhere. And I'm glad I don't do this stuff. I'm glad I got somebody doing this for me. Because then you have to come up with sound equipment that will reach this whole soccer stadium. Now there's another problem. There's no electricity to run the sound equipment, to run the lights that you don't have. So you have to go and you have to rent the lights. Then you have to rent 2 diesel generators to run the lights and the sound equipment. So believe me, we appreciate everything that you do and everyone else does, that we may be able to organize these campaigns and see these people born again and healed and set free. It's wonderful, but there's a lot to it. And I just thank God for Pastor Julio Cavazza that does our stuff in Peru, for what he does and how he sets things up, and he is the best. We have got the best in all of Peru. We got the most honest, which is saying something. Because we've seen a lot of things happen behind the scenes with other people that weren't quite right. But with him, it's no worry, no care. He does what we ask and how we want it. But it is costing more because prices are going up. Of course, then they see an American coming. That raises it a little bit too, see. So, but that's okay. That's okay. We can handle it. We can do it. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. But like I said, I'm glad he has that part of the job and I don't. I just go and preach because you sent me to preach. You sent the others to preach. Pastor David and Cindy, they were up here visiting you all a while back. They went with us to Peru this time, done some teaching, praying for people. It was wonderful. They were blessed. They went home so excited. Just wonderful, wonderful. I can't say. The reason they had some that did not care for the teaching on worship is because in those Latin countries, to them, worship is jumping up and down a lot, praying, playing a lot of fast-moving Latin-type songs. And there's a place for that. I've said this before, there's a place for that. But that is not true, genuine worship. And so we had to instruct them on how to go with worship and how to demonstrate it. Took time out to pointedly make sure that they understood where we were headed and what we meant. Of course, if you're used to doing something else and you like what you're doing and you don't want to change, you're going to either change or you're going to move out of the way. And we understand that. Several months ago, I made a trip to Ulysses, Kansas. And I told them if they would follow my instructions, it would change the atmosphere for miracles and for things to happen in the spirit and so forth. If they would follow my instructions and do these things. So I set up a Friday night meeting. They have Friday night prayer service on, or had been having Friday night prayer service, which was what we had instructed before, a long time in the past, but the Lord had told me, I want to make a change and I want you to make this adjustment. So what he had me to do, what I instructed them to do, and you might, if you're not doing this, maybe you're already doing this, I don't know. But anyhow, I just know I'm supposed to share this. We began up there to take that Friday night prayer service and turn it totally into a worship service. No preaching, no exhorting, no talking. There's a place and time for praying in the Spirit. There's a place and time for calling down that mountain, confession. And there's a place and time for worship. So we began to take the whole service, worship. We would have Ruby to get on the keyboard and they would sing songs, and worship for a while and with songs. Then Ruby would stop and they would begin to freely worship by themselves with some music playing softly. And they would do that for a while. Then they would go back and sing some more songs. No preaching, no exhorting, just singing songs. Worshiping God. And then they would go back to them softly playing some music and lifting their hands and worshiping God. Sometimes sitting, sometimes standing, didn't matter. So you can worship God either way. It's nice if you start out standing. But if you end up sitting down in order to be able to continue to worship, then sit down and worship. But mainly, worship. See, don't stop. This last time, I went up there, which was a month ago, miracles broke out all over the place. Not even ministering to anyone. Man had been bound up, back braces, pain. They did get him to come into church every service. He would stretch out on the back row, laying down. Couldn't come to the service unless he could lay down. Get off his feet. The power of God hit him, set him free. All the pain left, straightened up his back. You talk about somebody that was praising God and yelling and screaming, I'm healed, I'm healed. Other things happened. I can't remember things sometimes that happened in meetings. That's why I have Shelley to report on Peru, because you know, there's lots of things that we brought videos to you this time. The meetings from Peru. You'll get to see a lot more than what she gave that happened there. That was just a small report to you. Well, the same thing in Ulysses. I can't remember everything, but things just broke out everywhere for two nights. People got saved. People are still getting saved just about every service up there. And guess who it is? Young people. Not that we don't want older people saved. But it's good. You have to have young people coming into the church at some point. Young people coming in, getting born again, getting filled with the Spirit. Catholics, Lutherans, Jehovah Witnesses. This is the atmosphere of change that I told them would come about. And it is starting. It's not there where it's supposed to be, but it has started. All because of worship. You can sit or stand and enjoy the presence of God, but where you worship is where you open your mouth. You begin to sing. Well, what if I don't know the words to the song? Then there's some words you can say. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again. Oh, Jesus, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know the song, but I thank you that I'm not going to hell. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. You mean I can do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, you're giving yourself over to Him. Worshiping Him. Turning your attention. Pulling your mind. Now if your mind goes down the road and starts thinking about that buck deer that you seen in the pasture, pull it back. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. See, you're pulling yourself back unto Him. I don't know what we're in this church. Also, you need your joy restored tonight. It's going to be restored. But you just begin to worship Him. Stay worshiping Him. So they do this for 2 hours up there on Friday night, singing songs, and then individually walking around worshiping God. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They sing songs for a while. All everybody together corporately, worshiping God. Then they go back to the other, individually worshiping God. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I glorify you. You might want to do that. I don't. Do you mean Friday nights or anything? Wednesday nights? Okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Friday. Change some things in your life. You see, God wants you to change. He doesn't want you to stay the same. If you were to stay the same, you would have never been born again. You had to take a step of change to be born again. But He doesn't want you to stop right there and say, that's it. See, He's a God of change. Now, He doesn't change Himself. You can always count on Him being the same, but He wants you to change. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about the change, the renewing of your mind, the transformation from good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can't have those things without change. Well, I just want to stay the same. Leave me alone. You keep coming in here, you'll change. You'll have to change. You can't stay the same. See, He said that you were Gentiles led about by dumb idols. He doesn't want you to continue to be led by those dumb idols. See, that's the old man. He said to put on the new man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. about change. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't matter whether it's man, woman, or child. He's talking about change all through the Word of God. That He wants you to continually change. Now some will change by leaps and bounds. Others will change by little steps. But it doesn't matter how, as long as the change begins to come about. And there has to be change. If you want more of God, if you want more of God's abundant life here on earth, you're going to have to join in the change. In fact, to be quite honest, you can't even stay the same. You'll go backwards. No one can stay the same. They'll either move forward or they'll go backwards. And He wants change. See, you don't want to get to heaven. Find out how much you missed. You're going to find out some things you missed anyhow. But you don't want that to be any more than necessary. I don't. I want to try to take in as much of God and as much of what He's got, His spirit, soul, and body, as I can while I'm here on earth. I don't want to get to heaven and find out I just missed the whole ball game. See? He wants you to change. You can't stay the same. It's not possible to stay the same. See? Don't care who you are. Well, I just want to move out of where I'm at right now into something better. It's going to require change. It's going to be required a change starting in the mind first. You've got to begin to change your thinking. That's why He said those things in the Word of God, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He talked about in Jude, those were sensual people. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you weren't sensual. They were, but you weren't, because you've done something to cause change, to be renewed in your mind first and then the rest of it following. You got to begin to change the way you think, the way you look at things, how you see things. How do you see your wife? How do you see your husband? How do you see your children? How do you see your finances? How do you see your body? See, I've still got challenges in my body, but I see my body healed. I see it made whole in every area. That's how I see it. And I'll see it and see it and see it and see it until it's done. You've got to begin to look at things in a different manner. You got to begin to look at things, people around you, and see them differently. You got to begin to look at this church and see it differently. I'm not talking about physical aspects, although you can see those too, but I'm talking about people. You got to begin to see this church in a different light. What's it here for? It's for here for heavenly things. It's to plant things, sow things inside you, bring you step by step into the presence of God, into the walk of God, into a relationship. You cannot do it without a relationship with God. And you got to begin to look at that differently. You got to begin to look at this church differently. See? That this is a place for people to come and to change lives. See, He's a life changer. See, the grace is there. The grace is there for you to change. He supplied the grace of God that you might be able to change. See? What is the grace of God? Every time you fall, every time you fail, you get right back up and you go again, because the grace is working in you that you're able to do that. It enables you to get up and to start again and to not stop, not stop, not stop, not stop. Move forward, little by little by little by little, but move forward. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace that I can move forward.
I can change. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Stand here.
This morning is all of you have gotten some really encouragement from the Lord through different ministers. And God is encouraging you and sharing with you His heart for your life. But the thing that I did not realize, and the thing I want to get across to you, is that we have a part to play in seeing these words come to pass. They're just not going to happen if you don't get in there and seek the face of God. See, we have a part to play. This walk of the Spirit that we are in is not for the faint-hearted. It takes determination. It takes endurance. It takes to keep getting up and keep going. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my feet have been knocked out from under me. And I've laid there a while and think, what's the use? You know, God's never going to use me. I'm just never going to amount to anything that He could use me for. But that was a lie of Satan. And I had to come to the point of where I believed God more than I believed the lies He was telling me. I have a husband who walks in a strong anointing. That can be very intimidating, you know, especially when you think you're just called to be behind the scenes and make sure the details are taken care of. And I'm still called to help with that, but that's changing. So what I'm encouraging you with is stay in there in prayer. Stay in there in worship. Stay in there in meditation of the Word. Stay in there with confessing the Word over your life.
Amen.
Now, you're going to have to determine. I'm busy. My husband's busy. We all have busy lives. I understand that. Believe me, in America, we live in an extremely fast-paced society these days. And we try to fit, I think, 48 hours in 24. I understand how that is. But you are going to have to, at some point, sit down and say, to heck with everything else here, because it doesn't matter. If I'm not here, if something happens and I go on to heaven, it's not going to matter anyway. Somebody else is going to have to take care of it. So God, I am setting aside so many days, you know, or so many hours each evening, or so many hours each morning. I don't know. Everybody's schedule is different. You have to work it out. But you're going to have to determine in yourself. You're going to pull aside. And you are going to spend that time with Him. Whether it's praying in the Holy Spirit for an hour or two, whether it's spending time in complete worship for an hour or two, whether it's confessing the Word over your life for an hour or two, whether it's mixing it up altogether. It just depends whenever you go into your prayer closet what God is speaking to your heart on the inside you need to be doing and communicating with Him. And there are going to be times, let me tell you, you're going to have battles where your body and your flesh just do not want to go there. I mean, I have times when I come in and I'm thinking, oh, I have to go out and pray. I don't want to go out and pray. I don't feel like going out and worshiping. I'm going to tell you, it's going to hit, and it's real. I'm no different than any of you. But the thing is in Hebrews, Paul talks a lot about endurance. Endurance basically means perseverance. Perseverance means you keep going no matter what comes your way. Despite the obstacles that are thrown in your path, you keep going no matter what. And so what I'm saying, these words that the Lord has given you, these encouragements, to see them come to pass, you have a part to play. And depending when they come to pass and how much you have determined to get in there and seek His face, and how much you have determined to get in there and seek His face, the more you submit yourself to Him, the more you get in there, the more time you spend with Him, the quicker things come about. It's all up to you. It's all up to me individually. How fast, how much of God I want, and how much I want to see Him use me. finally learned that. It's still tough at times, but I have finally learned that. And I came into this message of the walk of the Spirit 14 years ago. So I'm sharing this with you now because you don't have to spend 14 years to learn that you have to get in there and do something about this also.
That's right. Amen.
See, it's from people ahead of you teaching you, like Pastor Dave. He spent years and years and years, I don't remember how many years he spent. And now because of what we're learning from him, it's cut our time down because of what he has learned. And it can happen like that for everybody if you will pick up and learn from those before you. So I just want to encourage you. The words you've got, hold them in your heart. Keep them there. Think about them. Let them encourage you. But get in there and pray. Get in there and worship. And get in there and confess the word over your life. And then you take the word and take it in context. But if there's a certain passage of scripture or scripture that's really ministering to your heart, just hold it out there and think about it. Meditate it. Pray in the Holy Spirit about it. And let God speak to your heart about it. So I just want to encourage you. God has great things ahead for all of us.
Amen.
And I want to see God's will accomplished in all your lives.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that was pretty good for someone not to really have anything to say. Hallelujah, Jesus. What she's talking about, and I've seen this over the past few months, the past year, that came in Peru while she was teaching was a result of what she's talking about. And what I've seen is someone who works a job and goes out at night in the little building behind the house, spends from about 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock to begin with in prayer and worship. Now it's up to about 2 or 3 in the morning, about 4 hours. I've seen this over and over twice a week, Sunday nights, Thursday nights, twice a week consistently. And I've seen changes come about, I've seen an anointing come about. Anyone can have it. Anyone can do it. Doesn't matter what your call is. What we're talking about here is change. What we talked about last night is change. You can't have change without a relationship with God. So as you begin this relationship with God, then the changes begin to come about. How do I have this relationship? By doing the things in the Word of God. See, we all come into this walk with God with baggage. What we want to do is turn this baggage into a suitcase of anointing. Regardless of our calls, we want to make changes and change this stuff. Your walk might be a different walk. You might have to go a different direction than me. You may not be called up here to this pulpit. You may be called to the kingdom to make money, to send me to Peru. You know, a preacher has to be sent. Well, let's just face it. A preacher has to be sent. I was thinking last night after the service, $1,000 for plane tickets, $8,000 for a campaign to be set up, expression on the man's face that had the withered hand that unfolded, priceless. That's the way it is. Priceless. But your call may be different, but regardless of what you're called or what your place is in the body of Christ, which you'll find in this walk, you've got to begin this relationship. And the only way you're going to begin this relationship is begin to do the things little by little in the Word of God. And some of us come in, you know, and we follow these idols around all of our lives, and then we come into the kingdom of God, and we've got a lot of baggage to carry around. that we need to get rid of, that God wants to transform, wants to change, wants to get rid of. And some of us continue on through our walk with Christ, wanting to carry around and follow these dumb idols that he talked about in Corinthians. But he wants us to change. See, he's a God that is a life-changing God. He changes not. But he expects our lives to be changed. He wants our lives to be changed. He knows our lives can be changed. He has everything in the Word of God necessary that our life can be changed. And we've been coming up here a long time. And I've seen changes in people's lives. I've seen people different. I remember the first meetings we had in the motel in Camden. I remember the meetings that we had in Sedalia. And Fonda made her first trip. I've seen a lot of changes in a lot of people's lives. And that's what he wants. But he doesn't want us to stop. He wants us to continue on with these changes. And I asked God, I couldn't figure out why we would get someone praying in the Holy Ghost, praying hours in the Holy Ghost, worshiping God. I couldn't figure out. They would make the same trip around the mountain. You know, you're supposed to speak to the mountain be removed with the mountain's removed, little by little, chunk by chunk, it's still removed. That's what's supposed to happen in the Word of God. Whatever the mountain is in your life, that's what's supposed to happen. You speak to the mountain, while you stand praying, you forgive everybody. Which is another message. Forgiving everybody. You speak to the mountain, whether it be all at once or chunk by chunk, whatever that particular mountain is, it's supposed to be removed. But I couldn't figure out. Because people would pray, and I know the Word works. If he says to pray, and you pray in the Holy Ghost, and it's a transformation by the Holy Ghost because you're praying. It says it in the Word of God, so I know that it works, and I know it myself. In some areas, there's some areas that haven't changed yet, but some that will are in the midst of changing, and some have already changed. I'm a different man than I was that ruthless real estate agent before I got saved. I'm different. I know I'm different. So I know the Word works, but I couldn't figure out. I said, God, I don't understand, because we get people to pray and they go around the mountain instead of removing the mountain. They keep going around it and they come back to the same place doing the same thing. I don't understand it. And then he told me one day. He said, at some point, he said, I'll bring them to the place that they decide to go the opposite direction. See, you have to put off the old man. At some point, you'll keep praying and praying and worshiping God and coming back to that same place or that same thing that needs removed out of your life, and you'll keep coming back to it and coming back to it. Eventually, at some point, if you keep coming back to it, you're going to make a decision, I'm not going to go there any longer. But the decision is yours. The choice is yours. You have to make the choice, I'm not going to go that direction any longer. And he'll give you the power to overcome, because that's what he's doing with that Holy Ghost power, is bringing you around and around back to that same place each time in transformation, and knowing that, believing with all that's in him, that at some point you're going to make that decision to say, I'm not going to go that direction any longer. It's not going to control my life any longer. At some point you'll come to that place and you'll make that choice and that decision. And when it happens, you have won. But you've got to keep going. You can't stop. And I've seen people pray and pray, and I wonder, God, why is it not working? I know it works. Why does it appear that it's not working? He said, at some point, they'll make a decision to go the opposite direction. See, he can't make the decision for you. See, we're sitting there praying and worshiping God, thinking that he's going to do it for us. Thinking that he's going to be the one that quits sinning. He's going to be the one that quits making wrong decisions. It's not. It's us. We're the ones that have to put off the old man and put on the new. It's just that he keeps bringing you around and around to the same place each time through the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Worship, praise, confession, bringing you to that place that at some point you make that decision on that particular thing in your life. You make that decision, I'm not going to go there any longer. I'm going to go the opposite direction, which is right. I'm going to do what's right instead of what's wrong. I'm going to spend that money on the gospel instead of spending it for this and that, for those dumb idols that I've followed all my life. I'm just using that as an example. Maybe in your life it's something different. And then you make that decision and you start going the opposite direction. Oh yeah, the enemy comes back and tries to get you to go that direction again. But you've already overcome. You're already going the right direction. He's giving you the power and the grace to be able to go forward. See, that's the grace of God that's working in you. Paul said, I went before the Lord, I beseeched him 3 times. Get this thing off of me, get this thing off of me. And each time he said, my grace is sufficient. Meaning, what's working inside you, Paul, is enough to overcome the obstacle that you've come up against. And it's the same with us. I went before the Lord 3 times to get me going the opposite direction. My grace is sufficient. What's working in you, what you're using in the Word of God, what's working in you will bring you through to the other side. You can overcome. See, we're talking about change. We're talking about change. Making a decision for the kingdom of God. Making a decision about heavenly things instead of earthly things. See, and then you go on to another thing. And chunk by chunk, the mountain is removed from your life. Now, all the time you're developing a relationship with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, minute by minute, hour by hour, worshiping God, minute by minute, hour by hour, confessing the Word of God over your life, what you are. Not what you aren't, but what you are. Regardless of whether you see it or not. That's what you are, the Word of God. Confessing it over your life, minute by minute, hour by hour. Then you throw in a little bit of fasting along the way. Because it puts the flesh down that wants to follow the dumb idols. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're edifying yourself, building yourself up on your most holy faith, edifying your born-again spirit, building it up. Then when you worship God and you're removing that mountain chunk by chunk, that worship carries you through. Oh, you don't understand. Pastor, I've got a knot-headed husband. I mean, he does everything wrong, contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what heaven is. You don't understand. Chunk by chunk. All the time. Worshiping God. Letting it carry you through to the next chunk that's removed. Removed. We ought to call this removing the mountain chunk by chunk. See, some of us have given up. We haven't seen the mountain removed altogether, all at once, so we've given up. chunk by chunk. I can't climb Mount Everest, but I can certainly speak to the mountain and be removed. Chunk by chunk. Change. We're talking about change in people's lives. And then along the way, you begin to help other people be changed around you. See, you've got to begin to look at things differently, like we talked about last night. You've got to begin to look at this church and see it differently. See, God was speaking to me when I come in today. He said they need to understand not to despise this. Not to despise these small beginnings. Not to judge it on the outside, because I've already set in motion what it's going to be. And I'll have my way, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We're talking about change. Changing ourselves. There's just one problem. If you don't take time out to begin this change, if you don't begin to set aside these things to set it in motion, you'll not have this change. In 10 years from now, I'll probably come back around. And you'll still be the same if you don't set in motion these changes. See, you've got to be the one that begins to put off the old man. You've got to be the one that puts on the new man. You've got to be the one that takes the steps to have your mind renewed. See, it won't get renewed by itself. You've got to put those things in motion. That your mind will be renewed. That your life will be renewed. That your life will be changed from glory to glory. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Church will change. God will have His way. Because you'll start caring about the outside instead of caring about yourself all the time. You'll start caring about other people. And pretty soon the young people will come in and become born again. Sister Ruby and Ulysses, spending hour after hour worshiping God and praying. Now the young people are gathering around her, coming in to be born again from all walks of life. Lots of things happening there, and it can happen here too. And it is, and it will. But we're talking about change, being transformed and renewed. So your life needs to be renewed. Your life has got to be renewed. It can't stay the same way that it always has forever. At some point, you have to make a decision. I'm going to do things different than what I've done in the past. I'm going to have a different life in the future than what I've had in the past. At some point, you have to make that decision. Well, there's only one way, and that's with God. You can do all the emotional things, all the soulish things, all the things of the world that you want to do. You can listen to Dr. Phil over and over and over, but it's not going to do you any good. God's the only thing that's going to make the changes in your life, help you make those changes and bring you to that place and give you the power to overcome, because He is the overcomer. See? Hallelujah. Change. All about is change.